Your gracious and loving Father, please be with us today as I present this message for you. May each one of us gain a blessing from it. In Christ Yeshua's name we ask, amen. The message this morning is, what is your testimony? Most Christians and Jews alike today claim Abraham as their father, sang songs about him. My question today is this. If you claim Abraham as your father, is there any responsibility that comes with that claim? And Yeshua tells us in John 8 and 39, they answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. And Yeshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Words from our Lord. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Think about it for a minute. Mainstream Christianity claims Abraham for their father. And yet they teach that we're saved by faith alone. That works has nothing to do with salvation. But Yeshua says, Abraham's children do the works of Abraham. And we're told back in Genesis, chapter 26 and verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So we have it from the Word that making the claim of being the seed of Abraham comes with the responsibility of keeping the commandments, the statutes, and the laws of our Creator. And we should take note that the Scripture doesn't just say commandments. It says statutes and laws also. Now, we would have some say, many say probably, that this is too much. That it's a burden. Some type of bondage. But I say to you that you have that completely wrong. If we start with just the weekly Sabbath, it's such a blessing for us. It's a day of rest from our daily work, from our mental stress, from all the things that we have to deal with in the evil generation that we live in. And that's plenty. In fact, it is exactly as Yeshua says to us in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It is a day that he has given us. It is a gift to us from our Creator. We hear many speak of the free gift of grace. And we have to have that. But our weekly Sabbath, in the same manner, is a free gift from Him. It says Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says, there remains, therefore, Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his works, just as God did from His own works. We should be diligent, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. So it in fact tells us that not entering into the Sabbath rest is an act of disobedience against God. And why would we not want to enter into it? Because as I said, it's a blessing for us. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. And he didn't have to give us this day of rest. He chose to out of his love for us. Now, if we love him in the way that Abraham did, we will honor in his gift and enter into the weekly rest, the day of refreshing from him. Because that's what it is. It's a day of mental refreshing, physical refreshing, and spiritual refreshing. If we truly love him, in no way will we consider his commands, any of them, to be a burden. Through true love for him, we will see them clearly as they are, gifts from him to guide us as we walk through this world. It's as the Apostle John said in 1 John 5, 3, and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now then, everyone who is begotten by God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So the Apostle John says that the love of God is keeping his commandments. In fact, he combines that love and that commandment keeping and our faith all together there in that statement. So there's no way, in no way do our commandments and our faith contrast each other. They're in perfect harmony with one another. If we have true faith, we follow God. We're obedient. And as John says here, his commandments are not a burden. The true love of God breeds faith and obedience. It doesn't breed disobedience. It doesn't breed saying the law's done away with. We no longer have to keep the commandments. The Sabbath is no avail. It's not at all what it says. And this principle applies to each one of us who claim as Christ as our Savior, whether we claim to be the ancestors of Abraham or not. To claim sonship of God through Christ comes with the same requirements as claiming to be the seed of Abraham. So whichever way you're comfortable with wording it. And I know that many people are uncomfortable with something being required of us. They go with the theory that Christ did it all, so we don't have to do anything. But the scripture is real clear on this. As Apostle John says again in 1 John 2, 3 through 6, and by this standard we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And that's the same thing that Christ was talking about when he said we will know them by their fruits. It's the fruits we will know them by. The one, verse 4 says, the one who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that's strong words from John. And as Pastor Jim pointed out, I think it was last week, a lot of people don't like to think about God as being anything but full of love. And the scriptures do say that God is love. But it's in relation to this that John said here about being a liar. We're told in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 11, somewhere along there in Proverbs, that God hates a lying tongue. So, John's not saying it's a good thing here. To be a liar is a very bad thing. Verse 5 says, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one the love of God is being perfected. By this means we know that we are in him. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. Now, that's a strong statement. a true statement. And it's certainly a requirement of us, because John says that's the only way that we know we're of him. And many people don't want to take that walk, but it is a requirement. And there's another thing that's of a certainty. We have to know him. We have to truly know him in order to fulfill that requirement. When he was here in the flesh, he walked a perfect life. And this tells us to walk as he walked. But he didn't walk that perfect life of his own power. Because he tells us, Yeshua himself tells us in John 5 and 19, it says, "Therefore Yeshua answered and said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son has no power to do anything of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. Whatever he does, these things the Son also does in the same manner.'" So when we're commanded by the Word to walk as Christ walked, he's not asking us to do anything that he's not already done. He walked in the flesh. That's how we're told in the Scriptures to test the spirits. If they do not testify that he came and walked in the flesh, then they're not of God. So we know he came and walked in the flesh the same as us. And he relied on the Father. In the same way, we have to rely on him. His life and how he relied on the Father is in fact a mirror for us and how we must walk. We must rely on him in everything that we do. If we're trying to walk this walk the same as Christ walked it, and we're trying to do it of our own power, we're doomed before the first step. He relied on the power of the Father, and we must rely on his power also. And if we have to walk the same as he walked, what do the Scriptures say about how he walked? Luke 4 and 16 tells us, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So it's clear that his custom was to keep the Sabbath. We have it right there from the Scriptures. And he never changed that Sabbath. Nowhere in his Scriptures did he ever change that Sabbath. So what about the feast? I know we here believe in keeping the feast, his annual Sabbath. What about them? Well, in Matthew 26, verses 17 and 18 tells us, "Now on the first of the unleavens, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying to him, 'Where do you desire that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to such a man and say to him, The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" Now keep in mind, these disciples had been walking with him for 3.5 years. So they were aware of his customs and what he did. And they did not say, "Will we keep the Passover? Where will we keep the Passover?" So it's clear it was his custom. This was not a one-time thing that he did. They were aware of it. So, yes, it was his custom to also keep the feast. In fact, we're told in Hebrews 4 and 15, For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who is tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations. Yet he was without sin. In order for him to have been without sin, what does that tell us? Because we know from 1 John 3 and 4 that sin is the breaking of God's law. So Christ would have kept all God's laws, commands, and statutes the same as Abraham did. Because this New Age mainstream teaching that we don't have to do those things anymore because we're under a new covenant, and we are under a new covenant. But this teaching that being under the new covenant means we no longer have to keep these things. The new covenant was not here when Christ lived his fleshly life. He brought it. When he walked this earth, he walked under the old covenant the same as everyone else. So we know he kept all of these statutes, ordinances, and commands. And we're told that we have to walk as he walked. So, we know he kept all of it. So let's take a moment and consider the command we find in Leviticus chapter 11 about the foods to eat and the foods to abstain from. Because that's another thing a lot of people like to get out of. Do you know what happens if you follow these commands about food? Exactly. Good answer. They will cause you to have good health. Oh my, what a bondage. What burden, huh? I mean, that's what people say, isn't it? That keeping the Torah is a bondage, that it's a burden. Can't speak for anybody but myself, but if my God loves me so much that he wants me to have good health, somehow that seems to be the exact opposite of bondage to me. It sounds exactly to me like the peace and the easy yoke and the light burden that Yeshua promised those who follow him. And as for the feast, and people thinking they are some type of burden, they're like the weekly Sabbath. And the food laws, they're a gift from our God Yahweh. Out of his love for us. For example, I don't know how many people here in the congregation today have ever kept the Feast of Tabernacles. But let me tell you, if you've not taken it for the week and went and made your dwelling in a temporary home, camping as we would call it today, it's really something you need to do because it's such a blessing. You have a week away from work and all our worldly things that can sometimes separate us from God. You get to assemble together with brothers and sisters. You get to praise our true God. You even get to roast marshmallows over a campfire. It's a lot of fun, and it's a real blessing. It's such an uplifting and fun and spiritual experience. It is yet another case of God giving us a blessing. We will find in our life and in the scriptures, there's all sorts of scriptural proof for it, that obedience to God always equals blessings for us without exception. But always remember that the first step of our wonderful journey with him, full of blessings, is to accept him as your Savior and ask him into your heart You have to ask him into your heart and repent and turn away from sin, disobedience, lawlessness. Because we have to have him dwelling within us for our walk to be possible. We cannot do it of our own selves. Because he told us in Mark chapter 10 and verse 8, no one is good except God. So we certainly have to accept him within our hearts and our bodies and have his indwelling in order for this walk full of blessings to be possible. So always rely on the powers from on high to walk righteously. We know we can do this and have a life not controlled by sin and the desires of the flesh, because he tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me shall also do the works that I do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater works than his. That's what he tells us. That's a little overwhelming sometimes. I know it is for me when I read that scripture, to think that I can do greater works than him. But is it impossible? Would he have given that statement if it was impossible? I think it goes hand in hand with Philippians 4 and 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. So, before we say that the journey that the Word tells us to travel is too hard, think a minute on the walk that he had and the works he did. And he tells us in John 5 and 36, I have a greater witness than John's, for the works that the Father gave me to complete, the very works that I am doing themselves bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So, he in fact tells us that his works were his witness to who he was. And he tells us that he followed through with the works that the Father gave him to complete. Were his works easy? His certainly were not always easy. He was to die an unjust death for me and you. There's nothing easy about that. Because it wasn't just an unjust death, it was a painful death. He was tortured. He was beaten. He was made to carry his own cross. And he could have gotten out of that, because he told Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter whacked the ear of the soldier off, put down your sword. This is not how we're going to do this. Don't you know I could call on legions of angels? So he didn't have to do it. But it was his witness, because it was the works the Father had gave him to do. And he followed through with them. So before we think the works that he gives us to do are too difficult, we need to stop and think about that. Because in fact, the works that he gives us to do, as I pointed out, are always a blessing for us. We have to go out here and live a godlike and a different life than the world around us. Because if you're blending in with the world and you ain't looking different, and you ain't having worldly people look at you and say you're a little weird, then you ain't doing the works that Yeshua gave us to do. Because we know we have to be a different and a peculiar kind of person. So, as Peter said, if anyone's suffering as a Christian, praise God for it. So when you see them pointing at you, talking behind your back, even snickering at you, praise God. Praise Almighty God, Yahweh. And if we follow through with the works that He has given us to complete, then even those of us who deserve to die that death that He died, again, it will be a blessing for us, because instead of receiving the punishment of dying an unjust death like He did, we will receive eternal life. Something He already had. He didn't have to come here and go through what He did. But He will give that gift to us for following through with the works that we must do. So it sounds to me like we have received the easy end of this deal. So before we start talking about bondage and how hard it is and how difficult it is to live a good and godly life, we need to think on these matters. And His works were a witness of Him and that He was of the Father. So I ask, what is your testimony? Do your works bear witness that you are of Him? In fact, He tells us in John 8 and 29, that He always does the things that please the Father. Always. So should we not always do the things that please Him? He is our one high priest, our one mediator between us and the Father. And if we are to walk as He walked, live by the example that He gave us, and He always did what pleases the Father, then we should in fact do what always pleases Him. So again, I ask, what is your testimony? I hope that each one of ours is the testimony that reflects Him. And that's all that I have for us today. And I hope everyone got something out of it.